It feels so good to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from Monolith Studio 1B, this is UFUF 173. The Unfiltered, Unfettered Podcasting Experience. I'm your classically arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinions, along with my co-host, Red Zone fan, Pope of the Podcast, Sir Francis One. Kiss the ring. Fran, good evening.
Greatest invention ever. Red Zone.
You dig the Red Zone?
Oh, that was... I mean, I'm like... Football's not baseball yet for me, but I'm having a hard time watching one game from start to finish. Well, we switched over to AT&T... And Red Zone was part of the package. And I stumble on it. I'm like, well, this is like the greatest thing ever. You know? And even when teams aren't in the Red Zone, they'll just go to a game and stay with it until a game around the country gets into the Red Zone. And then you get to see all the touchdowns. Saw a lot of the Eagles-Redskins this Sunday because that's the game they went to when there was no scoring opportunities. Fantastic. Love it.
Beautiful. Okay, clear up a couple things from past podcasts. One, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I meant to talk about this last week, we compared, and this is going to come up, we're going to talk about this more in our podcast. Colin Kaepernick, right? The Colin Kaepernick situation, which is exhaustive.
Right.
But he did something on the clock. And then I brought up a couple stories about people that went to protests and got fired for being at the protests. And when I went back and listened to what we said about it and what I said about it, we kind of equivocated those things. And I don't think that you can or you should equivocate those things, because doing something in your company's uniform on the clock is not the same as doing something at a protest where you're not associated with your company but still getting fired for it.
And yeah, you're on your free time and you're not... You can't be really attached to that brand. You're not recognizable.
Exactly. Right. Two people got fired for doing stuff like that. But that's going to come up as we go through the podcast. As a matter of fact, our first couple issues in Shotgunning News, we're going to talk about episodes like that. Let me see. What else do we need to clear up? One other thing. Fran, we need to do our Super Bowl picks because we said we're going to do them.
Yeah.
What's your Super Bowl pick?
I'm going pretty standard. I'm New England, Green Bay in the Super Bowl with Tom Terrific bagging his next Super Bowl and then retiring.
Okay. I'm going with Pittsburgh and Seattle.
Really?
Dark horse. I am. Yeah.
Even after that, what your boys did to Pittsburgh?
I'm hoping that means my boys are a lot better than...
Well, you know, no, I would agree. But
that they took the Super Bowl chance to within three.
But Roethlisberger just didn't look... He
looks
old,
look
man.
That good. He looks old, but you cannot stop Antonio Brown.
Well, that's true.
That's true. And I think Seattle's underrated. I think they got one more good year left, maybe two. I think the Cowboys are a good shot. I think New England's a good shot. I mean, look, you know, we're just throwing it out there at this point. All right, those are our Super Bowl picks. Okay, so tonight we're going to shotgun the news. We're going to do a global gallop. We haven't done that for a while. You know, Fran, we do a lot of segments, insider talk for what we do. I like to give you a little behind the scenes. We're going to do a new segment tonight that I think could stick, because we've done some segments here and there, some go, some stick. We're going to do a segment tonight called the UFUF Truth Train, in which we take an issue in society and we lay the veneer of truth over it. We smack it down
the veneer
with some truth, okay? And enlighten yourselves and open your eyes on that. So we'll do that. As always, our signs of the apocalypse. Let's shotgun the news.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Okay, Fran, this is almost a two-parter. We start off with Linda Cohn being suspended from ESPN.
Yeah, she said that ESPN was getting too political, And the next thing she knows, she's suspended. Now, Linda Cohn is not one of the originals, but I think she was in that second wave of sportscasters to come on ESPN. She's been there a long time, experienced.
To date, Linda Cohn has done more sports centers than any other sports center figure in ESPN's history.
Yeah, so I mean, she's not just some small potatoes.
No.
This woman's respected in football, in several sports. I don't know what they're doing.
Report is that she said she thought ESPN was getting too political. She went home. The producer or the director or whoever called her when she got home and said, "Don't come to work tomorrow."
Crazy. Just crazy. Which gets even crazier when we get to the next story.
And let's do that. Jemele Hill called the president not even a racist, called him a white supremacist, and did like a 10-tweet soliloquy, which I think if the president was a white supremacist, I think a couple people want to know that. Maybe Omarosa Manigo? Maybe Ben...
Yeah. Maybe the woman, the black woman he dated in 2001 and 2002.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of the Jews that are in his cabinet. I don't know. So she calls the president a white supremacist.
Now, she's an ESPN reporter as well. Has a daytime show, I think, on ESPN.
She recently took over, like, the primetime sports center slot with some new thing. I admittedly don't watch. But she apologized, and they accepted that.
But did you see what she did? She didn't really apologize today. She kind of... Well, I'm sorry that you didn't understand what I was saying type of thing. And that's kind of restarted the fire a little bit.
Well, Fran, I looked up some of the people that have been fired from ESPN over the years for different various things. Here's a couple of them. Rob Parker, a black man, got fired for calling RG3 a cornball brother.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was a firing
offense. I thought he should have got fired just for being stupid, personally. But I'm with you. I get what you're saying.
To get fired for that? Okay. Another ESPN writer got fired for writing a story about Jeremy Lin where he made the headline, "A Chink in the Armor."
I'm not supposed to be laughing at these, right? Am I going to get suspended?
Okay. Jason Whitlock, who...
He's a firebrand. I mean, I'm not sure he's in the same category
as
the other
two. He got fired because he called out Scoop Jackson for being fake ghetto and Mike Lupica for being insecure.
See, and he's not wrong on those two scores. If you know those two guys, he's not wrong, but he's not... I wouldn't put him in the category of those other two. He's a better writer, number one. He's more nationally known. He's also a much more... Should stir.
Okay. And then, famously, they fired Rush Limbaugh for suggesting that Donovan McNabb, for suggesting that the media was overestimating the value of his performance because he was black. Basically, he said he's a black guy, they want him to do well.
Right.
And they fired him. They fired him for hiring him to do the exact same thing that he did.
Right.
But yet, this woman, Jemele Hill, can call the President of the United States a white supremacist, which is, to me, it's worse than saying you're a racist.
Mm-hmm.
That's like so watered down these days. You said he's a white supremacist and he's surrounded by white supremacists. And yet nothing happens.
Yeah.
And yet you suspended Linda Cohn for saying, I think ESPN's getting too political.
Proving Linda Cohn's point.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I tweeted out, I think they should fire her. I think they should just fire her. As I just read, you fired people for far less. Right?
Yeah. Cornball brother.
Cornball brother. How is that even fireable?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Next. Now, let me just continue on for just a second. Let me just say this to all my conservative brethren out there. I'm not going to stop watching football because a couple people kneel during the national anthem. Are we clear on this? All right. Fran, are you with me on this?
Oh, yeah. No, I get you.
Okay. Because I get on the Twitter, I get on the social media, I'm not watching the NFL anymore. I had a guy do some work on my house the other day. He's like, I'm not watching the NFL anymore. Oh, I'm like, dude, when I was in the military, here's what I hated. Don't punish the masses for the sins of the few.
Right.
And that's what you're doing. Like, I get it, but this issue could be resolved by the owners. I hold the owners responsible more than I do a couple of players. Because all the owners have to do is say, look, on my paycheck, on my uniform, here's what you do. You do it, you're gone.
Right.
Problem solved.
Or the NFL office could fix it. Like the NBA.
Yeah, they could too.
If you don't want to stand for the national anthem, stay in the locker room.
Right.
If you're on the field in uniform, you stand up. That's what the NBA has in place, and you have no issues there.
All right. Next. This is a woman we've talked about many times before in our podcast. Susan Rice, famous liar. It was a video. She went out. She lied about the Benghazi thing.
Yeah.
I mean, blatantly. I mean, you just can't deny it. Now, she's throwing down on the Obama administration. I mean, she's not meaning to throw them under the bus, but she's getting called out in these testimonies saying, we unmasked people. We tracked members of the Trump administration to see what they were saying. Basically, like, look, again, if you know our podcast, we're a bunch of rubes from Tennessee commenting on what we see in the media. She's lying, okay?
Yeah.
And if you read Cheryl Atkinson's book, you know the Obama administration blatantly spied on a lot of people. Susan Rice. It's very sad.
Yeah, she's made some bad career choices there. That pretty much ended it for her, right? I mean...
All right, next. This thing is not over right here. I think if the Republicans get a hold of this and they get something solid, this will not be over. All right, next. All right, friend, our favorite psycho boy, apparently just tonight, this is 9/14/2017, fired another missile over Japan.
Yeah, the first headline I saw was unidentified object fired from North Korea. And you think, holy smokes, man, this is it. So it appears that they're now testing boosters to carry that big hydrogen weapon that they set off. So this is getting, you know... at this point, you cannot let him develop a booster that will carry that. That was a 150-megaton warhead they set off. It changed the topography of the mountain that the thing was set off in. It wasn't on the mountain, it was under it. And the topography of the mountain changed based on this explosion. 150-megaton hydrogen weapon... You cannot let him put that on. If their rocket tests are successful, you are going to have to attack them. I don't see any other way around it.
That's bold.
You can't let him get a booster because then it's 50-50 that you're going to stop that missile in its pre-orbital flight. You know what I mean? Before it gets into the atmosphere, if you don't stop it, then there is no stopping it, and you're not going to set it off in your own atmosphere. So. You got to get it pre-boost phase, as they refer to it. I don't see any choice. If they find out and can verify that they've got a rocket to lift that thing, they're gonna have to do business.
All right, next. Jose downgraded?
Yep, he broke up. You were right. Trump said, "You don't come here, Jose." Tropical storm.
You don't got papers.
I think they said the most we're gonna feel is. Some riptides on the coasts of Florida and Georgia, maybe. That's about it. Which is not anything to sneeze at, but you're not going to get destruction from that, but if you're in the water, that could be dangerous. But
yeah, it could be.
It broke up pretty good.
We just got a day of rain and a little high winds.
We didn't even get nearly the rain I thought we were going to get.
Yeah,
we got lucky.
Well, we didn't get the winds I thought we were going to get either. That pretty much was breaking up by the time. Of course, this is a long way inland, too, man.
Right, and we're sitting in a quasi valley here with the Smoky Mountains around us on almost three sides.
As a matter of fact, the worst hurricane I've ever been in was when I was in Fayetteville, North Carolina at Pope Air Force Base. It was Hurricane Fran, actually, because we were only like 100 miles from the coast, and man, it came in, it was something. All right, let's go to hardcore politics.
Let's get hardcore.
Folks, Fran, shit's getting serious here. Trump has dinner with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. What?
And then there's the picture, right? Through the, yeah. Of him hugging Schumer.
Okay, let's go back, though. A long time ago, and probably multiple times if you listen to our podcast, both Fran and I said, Donald Trump is not a hardcore conservative Republican. He's just not.
I flat out said, look, he's a liberal.
Yeah.
He just changed his stripes so he could run for president.
But I think this is interesting because... Okay, so Hannity came out, and I don't watch Hannity, but I saw it in the news. He came out and he said, well, Trump's doing this because the Republicans, because congressional Republicans won't play ball.
Right, and he laid it on McConnell and Ryan.
Which is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, then there's the other thing about dealing with the Dreamers, which Trump said, I'm getting rid of DACA. I'll end it. Now he's saying, eh.
So they came out and said, a deal is done. The White House said, no, that's not true. Then Trump tweeted out that, yeah, we're close on a deal for this. And that's when his base kind of went a little crazy. Some of the news outlets that are Republican or conservative, I should say, Breitbart, they're just laying into him now.
Well, Coulter and...
Laura Ingraham and all the people that have been carrying his jock for the last 6 months are now like... You know, and Coulter, I think, is the biggest one. I mean, she wrote a book about Trump, right, praising him. And now, over the last 2 months, she's just looking at what he's doing, and she's like, she's just tearing him up.
Right. And if he makes a deal for the Dreamers...
That's going to hurt. I think they're talking about the wall now. He tweeted out that the wall would be this conglomeration of the current fencing... And some of the, I guess there are some glass panels along this fence at certain spots. And it's just going to be a revamp of that and like a mixed mash of all that. And that has not, I think that alone would be enough to send his base over the edge. The wall was the big thing, right? That was centerpiece of the campaign.
His opening speech when he's running for president, I'm going to build a wall.
Great
it's
wall.
It's going to be huge.
Great.
Huge.
Classy.
It's be beautiful.
Classy
That's
wall.
What I do, I build things. Yeah. I'm going to build a wall. Don't worry about it.
It's going to be the biggest wall. Biggest
and now it's like, something it'll be a wall.
We'll get a coat of paint on that fence that's there now. We'll be good.
Something it'll be a wall. Something it'll be a fence. Maybe a fence. Maybe just enhanced security.
Yeah. You're going to close up all the tears in that chain link fence.
But when do people turn on him, man?
What surprised me was how quickly some of the conservative media turned on him. I mean, they really are lighting him up. So, yeah,
they
it'll be interesting to see.
But
his base has been willing to apologize for him for everything. So we'll see if they're willing to do it for this.
I'm going to give us credit because we said the whole time he's a wheeler and a dealer.
Right.
And when he gets in office, don't think that he's going to stick to conservative principles to get things done that he wants to get done.
He's making deals.
He's going to work it. And I do think. And I heard some people say that today, I think this is his version of telling Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
If you're not going to play ball, I'm going to play ball without you.
Right. I agree.
I just want to know when the Trumpsters... are going to... Because this could be disastrous for the Republican Party.
Oh, well, look. Coming up into the election cycle, this is... I mean, he's giving Democrats all the chips. You know, if they want... Hey, we'll give you your wall, but you got to give us this type of thing. And Republicans won't be in a position to really argue about it.
And I mean, if he goes to the A word, right? Which is amnesty.
Amnesty, yeah.
Oh, they will flip out.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. But again... You know, you have to hesitate a little bit just because, you know, he said those immortal words. Well, I mean, when you're famous, you can grab him by the pussy. And he got elected president.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm waiting to see if is there an issue that his base won't explain away. This may be it, but let's see what happens.
If it happens, I think it could be. I don't know. We'll see. Because... What I heard on conservative talk radio today was his hardcore supporters were saying, look, This is him maneuvering to get what he
wants. Yes. Sly as a fox he is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, okay, we'll see. Fred, let's do something we haven't done for a while. Let's do the Global Gallup. So first up, Francis, we've talked about this several times on the podcast. Sweden, which has got a reputation as the rape capital of Europe. Well, recently, they issued a book. It's like a sex guide manual for immigrants.
Immigrant teens.
Did you take a look at it, Francis?
I did. Well, as much as I could. I mean, everyone and their mother must have been trying to look at it because it was just jammed up, but... It's for immigrant teens and trying to teach them, you know, white woman.
This is, the more I read about it, the more interesting it is. Because, you know, we're going to do this thing called the truth train in a minute. And there's just some truths here that get overlooked. Like, they found out the Swedish police were suppressing reporting crimes because they didn't want immigrant backlash. Yeah. Because the immigrants, these... Middle Eastern Muslim, I'm going to say it, immigrants were responsible for these crimes, for you know, molesting women, raping women, groping women at these concerts. I mean, they had to shut down a couple of them because it was going on. Then some of the feminists, fuck, this just tears me up. Some of the feminists said, "Well, you know, maybe this is a good thing because it brings light the abuse of women, right?" Across all races and people. Like, that's weak shit right there.
Well, because you didn't care that they were being raped before, but now that they're issuing a pamphlet.
But now you're like saying, oh, maybe this brings... It's good because it brings light to the abuse of women? What?
I'm sure those victims feel comforted by that.
Okay. Just wanted to mention that. Let's go on to something else. Myanmar. What maybe many people that watch Seinfeld knows Burma.
Right.
It used to be called Burma, right? It's where Jay Peterman went. They got a little genocide thing going on now. They're getting rid of all the Rohingya. They're Muslims. Myanmar is basically a Buddhist country, and these people have immigrated from other places. And now they're just kind of getting rid of them. They're burning their villages. There's a mass exodus to Bangladesh. I bring it up because, you know, this is another one of those things, Fran, where we always talk about racism in our country, right? But when you look out across the world, it's like people say we're the most racist country. I don't think so.
No.
We're not engaging in genocide. Where is this? Here we go. I meant to bring this up in the Jemele Hill thing. So there's a veteran NFL reporter, Jim Trotter.
Yep.
And he wrote to Jemele Hill. Here's what he said. He said, "I'm proud to call you a colleague and a friend. Black folk are tired and have to recognize some of the things that are going on in this country, and we have to be honest about it and meet it head on. If you are black and know the history of our country, you can understand her frustration. It is time we stop pretending it is not true." What does that mean?
That racism
still exists. This is an educated guy.
Yeah.
Right? He said, "Black folk are tired?" Like, dude, what are you, in the 40s? Black folk? They're tired? You're talking about Jemele Hill, a woman who has the anchor seat on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. But we are a bunch of racists. All righty. Fran, I can tell you're getting bored with my rants, so...
No.
We're going to go on with our new segment, which I'm excited about, and it's called The Truth Train. Here we go.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Don't start a love tree.
Classic, A Few Good Men and the OJs. How do you go wrong with that? I throw that shit together and act like I'm creative. I just don't know. People of the world, join hands, love train. Okay. Truth Train. So we have Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. Terrible hurricanes. Affected many, many lives. But the climate changers, which I've nicknamed them in my own mind, the climates, because they're like primates, only stupider. The people that have turned climate change into a religion. Because here's my deal. What they say is you have to believe in climate change or you're a climate change denier. There's no in-between.
Right.
Like, I'm an in-betweener. I feel like I want to take care of the environment. I don't think we should pollute. I believe that human activity may affect the environment. I also know that China and India don't give a shit. Developing countries don't care. People still have to heat their homes and drive to work, even if it's with in a Prius with a "I'm with her" sticker. But you know my metaphor, Fran, is that the dinosaurs were Republicans, right?
Right.
Because what killed the dinosaurs, Francis? The Ice Age.
Yeah. Wasn't the big meteor?
The Ice Age.
Well, I guess which ushered in the Ice Age, right?
And what was the Ice Age? It's climate change, writ large. So if the dinosaurs would have been Democrats, they would have recognized it and fixed it before it caused their demise. But they did not. Okay.
Dumb dinosaurs.
So everybody's talking about these two hurricanes. The climates are all going like, see? See? So I got our crack research staff to look into this. Gracias. Please put away your fight for 15 signs, but I appreciate the work you put in. So if you start looking at hurricanes, there's about four or five different ways you can look at them. One is deadliest hurricanes, which is misleading. Because I realized that when you start looking at them, most of the deadliest hurricanes were in the early 1900s. Because they didn't get warnings, right?
Right.
So, like Hurricane Irma, they evacuated the state. So you got like 15, 20 deaths or whatever it is. In 1920, there would have been 1,000 people killed.
Yeah.
Although, Katrina is one of the most deadliest hurricanes, although it was not one of the strongest hurricanes, but because it hit a very populated city that's built below sea level with some impoverished neighborhoods. So you kind of got to discount that. You got to discount cost, because that doesn't really translate the way. The two things I compared were strength and number. Okay. Let's look at strength first. Hurricane Irma, they're reporting it now, is it had 185 degree winds. It might go up to 190. But if you look at it, Katrina had 175. That was in 2005. Andrew had 175 degree winds. Camille was 1969, had 175 degree winds. Carla from 1961 had 175 degree winds. Mitch had 180 degree winds. That was 1998. Rita, 2005, 180. The Florida Keys hurricane, that was even before they named them, had 185 degree winds in 1935. Gilbert, 1985, had 185 degree winds. Wilma. So my point here is, when they say Irma is the strongest hurricane in history, that's kind of true, mm-hmm. but it's not that much stronger.
Right.
Right? It's not like twice as strong, like you would say, oh my God, look at this. I mean, it's within a realm. Now, this, to me, is more telling. Fran, I know you're getting bored of me. I'm doing this anyways. Is the number of hurricanes. Because isn't that what the climate change deniers or the climates say?
Well, because it looked like with Katia and then Irma and then Jose lined up.
Okay, yes.
That was going to look...
So this is from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website. I tallied up the website, the number of hurricanes for each decade since the 1900s. So in 1900, there was 18. In the 1910s, there was 21. 1920s, there was 14. 1930s, there was 17. 1940s, there was 23. 1950s, there was 18. I'll just skip 1960, 15. 1970, 12. 1980, 16. 1990, 14. In the 2000s, there was 18. In the 2010s, how many hurricanes? Now it's 2017, but how many hurricanes have made landfall in the United States? That's what we're talking about. In the 2010s, in this decade.
Six.
So that means if we get two hurricanes that make landfall in the United States for the next 2 years, which would conclude the decade, it would be the least amount of hurricanes in the last 120 years. So, I'm just saying, when the climates are crying and rending their clothes, it doesn't add up. The science is not there. And I know people go, well, the science is settled. Climate change is here. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, not when it comes to hurricanes. It doesn't make any sense. Fran, that's our first episode of Truth Train.
That's a good ride there. Good ride on the Truth Train.
I appreciate you. Let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Fran, my sign of the apocalypse tonight is simply the iPhone 10, which some of the less informed are calling iPhone X, but it's really 10.
Right.
Facial recognition software. Where do you think they're storing that?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm just saying, man.
That's, right out of the movie Minority Report, right?
If you think that's just your phone...
where they predict future crimes.
Good luck. Yeah.
Not to mention the thing's $1,000. If that's not a sign of the apocalypse, I don't know what is.
Well, yeah, that too.
But finally, we have our first device that breaks the four-digit, so...
I just think the facial recognition software is like a ruse, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the next thing you know, here we go.
What do you got, you're just looking into it, and they're taking your picture, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So mine is the Cassini probe, which left Earth forever ago, is on its final flight. It is going to plunge into the atmosphere of Saturn. And how many more movies do we have to see where the onboard computer says, no, Dave, I'll not let you back in the airlock. This is kind of the premise of 2001 A Space Odyssey, right? They screwed around with those moons of Jupiter and started a whole lot of shit. And now we're going to fly a probe right into Saturn and expect that nothing's going to come of that.
What if the people on Saturn don't appreciate it? Us flying just
would you?
A probe.
Would you?
No, I don't like to be probed.
You got Cassini right up the old wing wham. Would you enjoy that? I don't think so.
It's assuming that there's anybody out there. I got, let me see. I got feedback.
Oh, I forgot. You were a non-believer. I forgot that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a non-believer in alien life forms. I'm a non-believer that monkeys can take over the planet, too. So,
dude, if Chuck is here, they'll do it.
So that happened. All right, folks, this is UFUF 173. In the books, we'll be back next week, as always. Don't miss us, because it's important. Okay? All right, Jonah, take us out.
Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks, Tony and Fran, for getting us unfiltered and unfettered.